God is speaking to people all the time. Think about it. God spoke to Noah. Look at this. It's so interesting. Look at Genesis chapter 6, starting with verse 13. I have it right up here on the screens. Genesis chapter 6. Go to verse 13, guys in the back. And God said to Noah, notice, and God, what did he do? He said to Noah, God is speaking to Noah. And notice what he does. Look what he tells him. The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, look, Noah, that's what behold means. Look at this. And behold, I will destroy them on the earth. Next verse. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms on the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. Notice what God is doing. He's telling him why he's doing this, and then he's getting specific. Look at the specifics. Hey, Noah, check it out. I want you to build me an ark, but this is how I want you to build it. Look, the length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. And you shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it a cubic from above, and set a door of the ark on the inside. Do you see how much detail he's giving? God is speaking to him. And you shall make it with lower and second and third decks. And behold, I myself will bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy from the earth, from heaven, all the flesh, which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. Here's what I want you to notice. God is speaking to a man. And here's what I want you to understand. God continued to speak to men. God spoke to Noah. God spoke to Moses. God spoke to Abraham. Did he not? God spoke to Joshua. What's he tell Joshua? Look at the specifics. Tell Joshua, hey, Joshua, here's what I want you to do. We are going to defeat Jericho. But don't look at the walls. I know they're all secure. They think they're all secure, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a plan. We're going to march around. You know the story. We're going to march around the city seven times, and we're going to blow the trumpets, and we're going to shout, and the whole thing's going down. Here, I'm speaking to you. Here's the plan. Did God speak to Mary? I mean, God speaks to Mary, says, hey, Mary, guess what? You're going to get pregnant, but you're not going to be with anybody. And by the way, I want you to tell your husband or your soon to be husband. How many would like to be at that conversation? You know what I mean? But how many know God spoke to Joseph and says, "Hey, Joseph." See, God spoke to Mary, but God also spoke to Joseph. And then remember later on when God spoke to Joseph after the birth, and God speaks to Joseph and says, "Hey, Joseph, get out of here." And then he tells him when to come back. Remember all this? God speaks to Peter. Remember when he told him, hey, Peter, understand my will is that the Gentiles be saved. Don't call unclean what I've called clean. Remember this? God spokes to Saul. God speaks to Saul. Here's my point. God is speaking to people all the time. And could it be that God is speaking to you? Well, I would say absolutely. You think God loves you any less than he does Noah? You think God doesn't have a... No. Let me tell you what. God is speaking to you also. Can I be honest with somebody? But what we have to do is we have to understand that God will speak to us. We see this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 up here on the screen. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard nor have entered in the heart of man the things that are prepared for those who love him. God, I mean, Pastor, you don't understand. We can't understand God. We can't understand the concepts of God and what God has for us. No, listen, nobody's even seen it or heard it. Can I tell you what? Keep on reading. Keep on reading. Look what the next verse says. But God, does it say has not or has? How many know has not is different than has? Look it. But God has revealed them to what? To us. What? All these good things that God has planned for us. God has revealed it to us. He will speak to us. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice. Look at this. But he has revealed them to us, what? Through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches the things, yes, the deep things of God. For what a man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God. Does it say period? No. Keep on reading. Except the Spirit of God. Now, does the Bible say that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us? See, here's what I'm saying. Please understand that God is speaking to men all the time. You ever had a thought? You're like, you know what? I gave an example in the first service. I was driving home one time. I was in San Gabriel. You know what? And you ever just miss somebody in your family? And it's not like you've been gone for, you know, 8 weeks or something. I just had a busy day. It was one of those days where I was like, you know what I mean? And I just couldn't wait to come home to Tamara. Say, Pastor, isn't that every day? Oh, it is every day. Amen. But I just was looking forward to seeing Tamara. I just really wanted to see her. So I get on the 10 freeway. Before I get on the 10 freeway, I sense just inside here that I shouldn't get on the 10 freeway, that I should take Rosemead and take the 60. So, Pastor, what did you do? I got on the 10 freeway. See, what am I saying? There's inside of you, if you're born again, you have the Spirit that lives inside of you. And that Spirit will speak to you all the time if you'll listen to Him. She said, Pastor, how come you didn't get on the take Rosemead to get the 60? Here's why. Because I thought, well, I'm going to give that to you again, you're going to catch it. Because I thought, I don't like to take Rosemead because there's always traffic on Rosemead. Imagine, you know, it's kind of weird when we argue with God, is it not? I'm just asking. Is that weird? You know, He knows the beginning from the end. I'll show you scripture on that in Isaiah. It's awesome. We're going to close with awesome scripture. But is it weird to argue with God? Like, no, let me tell you, God. I know you want me to take. I know. Listen, is God for us? He is for us. Did he? You think, you know, no, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get on the 10 freeway and just sit in, you know, you ever been in traffic? You know what I mean? But you ever been when there's accident? It's not traffic. It's like parking lot. But I didn't know that right away. But I was going to find that out pretty soon. But how many know God knew that right away? So I'm like, Paul, are you, Pastor, you did got it. Listen, did I just read it to you? God told him specifically, here's why I'm doing it and here's what I'm doing. Can I tell you what? God will give you, He cares about you. He knows every hair on your head. He cares about you incredibly. He cares about you more than anybody else. He loves you even more than you love yourself. Do you think God wouldn't reveal to me a better way to get home to my wife? And He did. But I thought, oh, I don't want to take Rosemead because sometimes Rosemead, you know, so what happened? So I got to sit in a parking lot. There was a big accident. It wasn't, you know, it was kind of accident where they're just stopping. You're just there. And so, yeah, yes, did you get home? Yes, 2 hours later, I got home. Wow. All I'm saying to you is the reality is God's speaking to people all the time. He's not trying to keep His wisdom from you. He's trying to give His wisdom to you. Are you learning something? Are you glad you came today? Number one, you have to understand that God is speaking to people all the time. Number two, understand this, that there's a direct correlation between your closeness to God and your obedience to God. Now, I'm just asking. Is anybody, maybe you're reading the Bible because God speaks through His Spirit, but God speaks through His Word. That's why it's important that we read our Bible.
Every day.
We read our Bible.
Every day.
Okay, So God speaks through His Word and He speaks through His Spirit, and His Spirit never contradicts His Word. You can say amen to that.
Amen.
But God is speaking to us. Am I the only one who sometimes have sensed that God is saying something, but I haven't been obedient? Am I the only one? That's what I thought. Okay. I know I'm not the only one. But here's what I'm saying. That if you were talking to me, if you were on Whittier Boulevard and you were speaking to me and you were giving me direction, telling me something to do, I probably wouldn't do it. Can I tell you why? Because I can't hear you. You know why can't I hear? Because you're on Whittier Boulevard and I'm here. And so I can't hear you. But here's the thing. The closer that you will get to God, the closer that you will get to God, the quicker you'll be to be obedient to God. Amen. And let me just tell you, and I know this sounds religious, but how do you get close to God? Here's how you get close to God. You spend time in His Word, and you spend time praying to Him. Okay. I know it sounds like a religious thing, but it's also the truth. You spend time in His Word, and you spend time listening to Him. And the closer that you'll get to Him, the easier it will be for you to be obedient to Him. So I'm over at Home Depot, and somebody comes up to me and says, "Hey, could you do me a favor? You know, I left my wallet. I got a red truck out there, and it's in the, you know, if you open up the door, you know what? You'll see my old pair of jeans. It's in the pocket there, and just, you know, open up my wallet, and there's a 20 in there. Could you run get me that right now?" Wow. Okay. And I don't know this guy from Adam. Okay. What do you think I'm going to tell him? Dude, I don't mean to be, get your own 20. You know what I mean? Why? Because I don't know him. Because I don't know his character. Here's what I'm saying. Understand that many times the reason why you're not obedient to him is because you're so far from him that when he tells you to do something, it's, can I tell you what? The things of God can seem foreign to us. Can they not? But the more that we will incline our ear, the Bible says incline your ear, the more that you will incline, let me give you a word picture of incline your ear. Are y'all watching? Here, let me give you a word picture, incline your ear. Do you remember when your mother used to help incline your ear? Okay, do you remember that? Okay, all I'm saying is if you will incline your ear to the things of God and get on his frequency, because here's what will happen. You'll start to understand his character. And you'll start to understand what a loving, caring God. You'll start to understand that He is a God Almighty. You'll start to understand that He's promised never to leave you or forsake you. And you'll be able to step out in faith. Why was Peter able to step out when Jesus tells him, you know what, he says, "Hey, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Tell me to come." The New King James says, "Bid me to come. Tell me to come." And Jesus tells him to come. Why in the world? And you say, "Yeah, but he sank. I know he sank, but he also walked on the water. Why did he even think about doing that?" Here's why. Because he knew the character of God. He knew that God was a supernatural God. He knew that God was on his side. He knew that God loved him, and he knew that he could let go of the boat, and he could put his trust in God. Now, let's talk about the opposite. How come sometimes we're not close to God? Well, it's simple. We just live in a, how many know we live in a, we just live in a media frenzy world, do we not? And so sometimes we just get in our car right away, and somebody help me out. What's the first thing you do when we get in a car? Turn the radio on, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, K-Earth 101, you know what I mean? They're like, "Oh, I love this song," you know what I mean? I'm just suggesting that maybe the reason why you don't hear from God, how many know that you can drown some people out? You know, remember Charlie Brown, you know what I mean? And remember how his teacher talked? How does the teacher talk? You know, what are they, Charlie Brown's not listening to his teacher. All he's hearing is this, wah, wah, wah. Sometimes it's not that God isn't speaking to us, but it's that we're not listening. Maybe, I'm just asking. Maybe it could be we don't hear God. Why? Because we're too busy, you know what, playing that funky music, white boy. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You know what? You're too busy. You know what? She's a brick. Ows. You know, you're just boom. And you just, that boom, that's where you're at. And you can't, and listen, and you can't hear. You're not hearing, or whatever, if those aren't your two favorite songs, I don't know, you know what I mean, whatever. That's not the point. The point isn't your style of music. The point is that you are so quick to turn the radio on. You're so quick to turn the sports channel on. You're so quick to, you know what? And we drowned out the voice of God. Sometimes we just need to be still. Sometimes what we need to do is just give God an opportunity to speak to our life. Is it that God doesn't want us to understand how to minister to our families? Is it, man, I'm just asking, Is it? You're like, oh, I'll never, I don't understand my wife. I don't know. I don't understand. She might. Am I the only one, man? Go on, you guys don't want. Okay, whatever. You don't have to raise your hand. But all I'm suggesting to you is, yeah, maybe your wife is difficult for you to understand. But how many know God understands your wife perfectly? And how many know God will give you insight to your wife? And I don't understand my husband. Well, listen, just let God minister to you about your husband. I don't understand my kids. How many know you can have 3 kids, you can have 5 kids, and they can be so different. You're like, I don't know how, you know what, I thought I had it wired. No, listen, let me tell you how you get it wired. Turn off the radio, turn off the television, turn off the sports, and give God an opportunity to speak to you. Because let me tell you what, God will speak to you. God will give you direction. God will give you as much direction as he did Noah to say, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do it just like this. Is somebody hearing what I believe God is speaking to us today? See, your closeness. Look at this. This is in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. Look at this. This isn't by accident. This is the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. But here's what I want you to catch. Noah, what did he do? He walked with God. See, it doesn't say he walked one time with God. It gives this indication of he has this deep relationship with God. I believe in one of these walks, he said, hey, Noah, let me tell you what's going on in this earth. There's just a lot of evil going on. And because I love man, because I love mankind, and I want mankind to continue, I need to destroy this, and I need to start with you. And I'm going to ask you to do something that might seem crazy to you, but I know the beginning from the end. I'm going to send this flood. It's going to rain, and this boat, this ship is going to protect you. So do me a favor, just trust me and do it. And it was the closeness that he had with God that enables him to spend 120 years building a ship. Could it be, listen to me, that your closeness with God is directly related to your obedience to God? And if you want to be obedient to God, all you have to do is just call close to him. Because you'll start to understand who he is, and you'll put your trust in him way easier. Why won't I get that $20 for that guy across the street? Because I don't trust him. I don't know him. But when you start getting close to God, you'll trust him. Number three, understand this, that if you don't want to listen, you don't have to. If you don't want to listen, you can just crank it up. You know what I mean? You can just do like, you know what, like some of you used to do in when you were 8, you know what I mean? And your sister was talking to you. You're like, la, 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 la. Come on. You can do the same thing now, and you can do it, and you just say, what? And just in your busyness, no, I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. I would suggest this to you, that you don't have time not to listen to God. And if you want, you can look at this. This is Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets. Listen, catch this. Jerusalem, they're killing the prophets and stone those who are sent to her. What are the prophets doing? The prophets are speaking what God wants to speak to the people. And stone those who are sent. God's sending people to Jerusalem, and they're stoning them. Why? Because you don't have to listen to God if you don't want to. Watch this. How often I have gathered her off, how often I wanted to gather your chicks together as a hen gathers her chicks under his wings. Look at this. But you were not willing. See, if you don't want to hear God, you can, listen. You can even come into church and hear a great message. But you hear it, but you don't have an ear to hear it. Watch this. Look at this next verse. This is in Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. Jesus is speaking. He says, he who has ears, let him hear. Everybody say, let him hear. Okay. Now, let me tell you what. When Jesus spoke this, he wasn't talking to a bunch of people over here that had ears and a bunch of people over here that didn't have ears. And he said, okay, guys, you guys who have ears, you're going to hear what I'm saying. But you guys don't know. How many know they all had ears? But notice what he says. He says, let him hear. See, you've got to come into church with a preconceived notion and preconceived attitude that I want God to speak to me and I am going to hear what he has to say. How many know sometimes the truth is hard to hear because we want to chuck and jive. It's just hard sometimes. But how many know that sometimes the best thing for you to hear is something that's hard? And so my suggestion is, whenever you come to church, come with an attitude of saying, God, have ears to hear. Look at this passage. This is also in Matthew chapter 13, verse 14. Look what it says. And in them the prophecy, in them, these are people, in them the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, but look, you hear with your ears, but watch this, but you shall not understand. And seeing you will see and not perceive. Yes, Pastor, I heard your sermon, okay, but I don't want to do it. Here's the thing. You don't understand how beneficial it's going to be to you. You don't understand it. You don't perceive that the very thing you need to do is to forgive that one that you're not forgiving. The very thing that you need to do is to become more generous. The very thing you need to be is be kind to everyone, especially those who are in the household of faith. The very thing, see, can I tell you what? Many times when you're hurt, you ever heard this? Hurt people. When God says, here, all those of you who are hurt, here's what I want you to do. I want you to give to people. I want you to be gracious to people. I want you to not focus on you, but I want you to focus on other people. See, how many know God's ways are not our ways? But can I tell you what they are? They're higher than our ways. They're smart. How many know God is smarter than us? And so God, watch this, has the, you know, how many ever walked into the doctor's office and the doctor says, oh, you got this. And you're like, oh, no. You know what I mean? Doctor, what am I going to do? And he says, here's the good news. I got the antidote. You're like, oh, shoo. And then he gets out some needle like this long. Now, I'm just asking, how many know when he gets out that needle, you're like, part of you are like, ooh. But be honest, how many of you go, okay, doctor, go for it. And listen, and after he sticks you with that needle, and you know what, and puts that, how many know you're like, ah, but how many know when you walk out, you know what you say? Doctor, thank you. Can we do the same thing for God? Have you ever had God come in and diagnose you completely? In a sermon, come on, somebody raise your hand if you, Pastor. You ever come in here? You know, one time we had a friend, you know what, and he started coming to our church, and we lived in some apartments, and he lived in the apartments too, and he walks by, and I walk by his apartment, and he sees me, and he says, hey, Pastor Drew, come here. Oh, okay, you know what? I'm like, hey, bro, what do you need? And he says, come here, and he's sitting down with his wife, okay. At this table, and he says, come here, I need you to talk to my wife. I'm like, oh, you know, I didn't do anything. So he says, but he says this. Here's what he says. He says, Pastor, tell her. I'm like, tell her? Tell her what? What do you want me to tell her? He says, tell her that I don't talk to you before the sermons and tell you what to say to her. True story. Here's why. Because he was a good friend of mine. And what his wife started accusing him of doing is talking to me. Hey, say, hey, my wife needs this, you know what I mean? And telling me, like, and then I'm going to say it to her, you know what I mean? In front of everybody. You know, hey, you know, you need to work on this. And he said, tell her, Pastor. And I just smiled. I said, true story. I said, you know what? I love your husband. He's a good friend of mine. But I don't know nothing. I'm just asking, how many of you, you know, I have to raise your hand because I already know the answer, but you come in and you're like, Pastor, how did you know? You know, some people, it's funny, they'll even say to me, Pastor, you were looking right. When you said that, you were looking right at me. I'm like, dude, I barely even know you. Okay. But we can, here's why. Because God, but God knows you. And God is able, does he speak to people? And God can speak to me. And let me just tell you, so you know, so you don't feel uncomfortable. Many times when I'm preaching, you know what? I just feel like there's just even when I'm studying, I feel like I'm studying in the prophetic. But here's the truth. Almost all the time, I don't even know who he's talking to. Can I tell you the truth? Many times, he's talking to me. And I do my best to really come to you with a sincere heart that these things are activated in my life. But I'm just saying, I don't know. But can God speak to you in a sermon? Has God spoken to you? But here's the thing. But you have to hear. Because you can come and then just go, oh, praise God. I'm glad that was awesome. You know, coming to, Pastor, that was an awesome sermon. My wife really needed to hear that. Thank God. And the whole thing is, and that's great. Maybe she did. But the whole time, you're playing dodgeball. And you know what? And you're thinking, wait a minute. Wait, here's the thought. Maybe this sermon wasn't for your wife. Maybe it was for you. I'm just asking. Because if you don't want to hear it, you don't have to. And finally, understand that the smartest thing you can do, is to take some time, and to hear what God is saying to you. And then when you hear what God is saying to you, then for you to do it. I can't tell you how many times. You know what? God has spoken to me. And many times, you know what? I'm just dense. You know what? I just think I know more than him. But so many times, I'm learning to be obedient to what he asked me to do. I never forget. I was here for a year and a half, and I was just serving in the church. I wasn't the pastor. I brought my family. You know what? From another denomination, I believe that God had called us here. I put in my resume. I was thinking they're going to see my resume. They're going to say, "Wow, this is awesome." You know what? They're going to hear what I believe that God was speaking to me. But month after month. After month, after month, after month, after month, after month, a year and a half later, they still haven't, they made one initial contact with me about in the first month and hadn't said nothing to me for the rest, a year and a half, hadn't said anything to me. And I remember leaving the church, I'll never forget this, and I remember leaving the church, and understand this, I'm coming to a church and I'm bringing my family, you know what, at that point in time we just had Shayla, but I'm bringing my little girl and my wife to a church and they really don't have hardly any ministry going on. And it was difficult. You say, Pastor, why do you do it? Here's why, because I knew that God had called us here. So I start to walk away, and I remember just thinking, Drew, you are crazy. I don't know what you were thinking. You were in this church over here. You had it going on. They had a lot of things for your family. You know what? You were involved in ministry. You were being used of God, and then you had some wacko thought in your head to do this, and it's all about you, and you're off. I'm no saint will lie to you. And I never forget, it was a cloudy, rainy day, and I'll never forget this. And I turned around and I saw the steeple, and I saw the cross on the steeple. And here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, Drew, if you walk away from this, you will walk away from just an awesomeness that I have for you and your family. And you'll do it. And you'll walk away because you got impatient. And you let that time deceive you to think it wasn't for me. But it is for me. So don't go weary in doing good. Just stay steady and be patient and understand that these people who are deciding, they're going to get it. and you will be the next pastor. I tell you what, I look at your faces and I think, thank God. Tamara and I can talk for days about what a joy it is to pastor at Hope Community Church. We love each one of you dearly. It is a pleasure. It is a privilege. We really love you guys.
Amen.
And I can't even imagine. God has truly smiled at Tamara and I and blessed us when he called us here. But understand that that blessing comes from being obedient to God. So you've got to be willing and obedient. The Bible says if we're willing and obedient, we'll eat the fat of land. All right, can I show you one more passage and then we'll close? One more passage. This is so awesome. Okay. Turn to the one in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 46, starting with verse 3. Guys, follow me because I'm going to read this through. Starting with verse 3. Listen to me. Do you hear what God's saying? Listen. You got to hear me. I'm speaking, but you've got to listen to what I'm saying. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who has been upheld by me from birth. Do you see the relational God that he is? Who has been carried from the womb, even to your old age, as I am he. And even the gray hairs I will carry you. Even to the gray hairs I will carry you. I'm going to be with you for all your life, guys. Amen. I have made and I will bury. I made you, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to carry you. Even I will carry and I'll deliver you. See, but what's he say first? Listen to me. You got to listen to me. Watch this. To whom you will like, who to whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that I should be like? You lavish gold out of the bag. Listen to his heart. And weigh silver on the scales. You hire a goldsmith. What's he talking about? He's talking about these people who make idols. They're making idols. He's saying, you take gold out of your bag, silver, and you hire a goldsmith, and he look at how God mocks this. And he makes it a god. You prostrate themselves. Yes, they worship. You bear it on your shoulders. Why? Because it doesn't do anything. It can't move. So you bear it on your shoulders. They carry it. You set it in its place, and it stands from its place. It shall not move. You know why it doesn't move? Because it can't. Can I tell you what? We live in a country that does all this stuff. Can I tell you what we need to do as country? Can I tell you what we need to do as people? We need to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. We need to recognize who's like God. No one's like God. No one's like God. Look what he says. And from its place it shall not move. It can't. And one carries it and one cries out to it. Really? Yet it cannot answer nor save him out of its trouble. Can I tell you who's the only one who can save you out of your trouble? God. And can I tell you how he does it many times? Many times he does it by saying, here's what I want you to do. Do this. Here's how you're going to get out. Listen to me. Next verse. Remember this and show yourselves, men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former days of old. For I am God. Do you remember the former days? Remember when I delivered your descendants out of Israel? With a mighty hand I delivered them. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring, what does God do? Declaring the beginning from the end, and the ancient times, things that are not yet done. What did God know? God knew that there was an awesome plan for Tamara and I and our family. He saw it before we could see it. So when I look and I'm thinking, man, I got to get out of here. This is a crazy, I don't know what I was thinking. God knows what he was thinking. And he says, Drew, no. I know, I can see through the future. And I know what's best for you. Saying my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Can I tell you what? God's going to do what he wants to do. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it. That's what God was saying to Drew. Don't get impatient. This is my plan. I will do it. I will also do it. Next verse. Look, do you see it again? What's he say? Listen to me. And then he gets, hey, and then how many know God has the reality to be honest with us? Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, who are far from righteousness. Who's righteous? God's righteous. You're far from him. You're far from him. You can't hear him. You don't trust him. And all you have to do is get close to God, and all of a sudden you'll start to be obedient. Why? Because you'll put your trust in him. I bring my righteousness near. It shall not be far off. My salvation, that's wholeness, will not linger. I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Can I tell you what? God is for us. He's not against us. And he's speaking to us, but here's what he wants. He wants us to hear him, and he wants us to be obedient to him. God is a good God, and he loves you, and he's speaking to you every day. Can we turn off all the clamor? Can we just get along with God and say, God, I need help. Show me. And then when he tells you to do something radical, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do. And you're like, I can't do that. No. Yes, you can. Just cry it to God. Say, God, I have no idea how I can do that, but I need your help. God will help you. God is the one who will deliver you. Yeah. Can you go back to 46:12? Oh, go to back to 46:12. Go to verse 12. There are 12, right?
Yes. That's great. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted who are far from righteousness. As we obey God, you know what path God is putting us on? A path of righteousness. But if we won't obey him, we end up far when we want to do what we want to do instead of what he tells us to do. He's into telling us how to conduct our lives. He is our God, and we are his people, and we obey him. The Bible says, I want to stay on that scripture there because I want to share with you a couple of other ones that'll really just bring that alive. This is in Acts 5:31. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgiveness of their sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God, listen to this part, it's really important. You want to be close to God? Do you want to hear God? Listen to this in Acts 5:32. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When God asked us to come here, it was a step of obedience because it was not what we wanted to do. You know what? We were really comfortable where we were. You know what? We had a lot of things that we had built and worked on where we were. Good things were happening where we were. And then God brought us to really what seemed to be this desolate land. There was so much work to be done. And 12 people here. And a poverty situation where there was so much that the building needed and there were not finances for it. So it was a big step of obedience for us to walk away from what seemed right and grand and better to hear God and just lay it all down and say, okay, if you say so. But can I tell you something about that time? It's interesting because I don't think I was aware of this scripture at that time in my life. But coming here, I grew more in my relationship with the Lord than I had years before that. And it's not that we had a good pastor. He taught the word. But what happened is we obeyed God. We really began to become you become incredibly dependent on God when you're in a desolate land. Can I tell you that? Incredibly dependent on God. But that obedience was also, he was giving his spirit to me, you know what I mean, as I was obeying him. And everything that happened here happened by his spirit. I began to hear God with such a clarity. And miraculous things began to take place because we're just doing what God said to do. But that wasn't, it became a very comfortable road. Once you begin to hear him and move in that, it's like, whoa, you get a couple of victories under your belt. You go, man, God, you're amazing. This is great. But it took that obedience to just do what he was asking to do when it didn't look great. It wasn't for us. It was for God, what he wanted. He had some plans, and he needed those plans executed through someone. And now look at it. Look at the relationships that we have. Look at the church that we have in our community. God has a plan, amen? And I love, you know what, that we all know each other. Because if I would have run things, I would have ripped myself off of that. There's a couple more scriptures. I want you to catch this obedience thing, because the truth is, if we're not obeying God, listen to this one in Romans 6:12. Let not sin reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. See, if we're not walking in obedience to God, we are obeying. The Bible says there's only two masters. You'll obey one, And you'll love one and obey him, and then you'll hate. You know what? You guys know that scripture? I want to read you my last scripture in Ephesians 2:2, and I'm going to read it to you out of the New Living Translation, because it just makes it nice and concise that I don't have to go through several verses. But it's Ephesians 2:2. It says, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. This obedience thing is really just a submission of our lives to God. That we, like Jesus did, we say, nonetheless, Lord, not my will, but your will. And that we let God, who knows all things, just navigate for us and take us to those green pastures. Amen? Amen. Did you have something you wanted to add? Or okay.
I just want to, thank you, Tamara. I just want to give you an opportunity. We're going to dismiss you in a minute. But if you just, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, if you just want to raise your hand and say, and here's what I want you to understand. This doesn't mean like, you know what, just understand that there's no judgment here. You know what, I'm not looking around the room and thinking, oh, you did that or you did this. I'm just, listen, I'm with you. And my hand's going to be the first hand up. But if you feel like, you know what, Pastor, I just want to respond. God has spoke to me in this area, and maybe it's about a degree of obedience. I'm not even sure what. but you just say, Pastor, I want you to pray. I want to respond. God said something to me, and I don't want to leave without raising my hand and having you pray with me. If that's you, all over, just raise up your hand quickly. And you don't have to keep your hand up. Just, you can put it right back down. But I want to have an opportunity to pray with you right now. Father, you see the hands that are up, and I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you that you are helping us. Help us be obedient. Help any of the hands, for whatever reason they're up, help the situations in their life. And I thank you that we haven't been left here like orphans, but you sent the Holy Spirit to help us. And we're asking for his help. In Jesus' name we pray.